Yo, what's going on, people? Episode 71 of the Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Eugene's here. We got Ike, the other host of the show. He's here. Let's go ahead. Let's not even waste no more time. Let's get into it. Ike, how you feeling today?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. We got some notable news out of the in the NFL with DeAndre Hopkins getting released.
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
I don't know, man. It's crazy because you would have thought there would have been like they would have waited until the June. What date is that? June 1st. So they don't take as big of a cap hit, but they're just like, man, F it. We just want him out now. Let's get this tank thing going right away, which is interesting for a team to just eat that type of cap, but it's not like they're spending on anything. So I guess they didn't care. I know, obviously, the number one question is where is he going to go? What's your thoughts on the landing spot that you think he's gonna go, or any type of news or nuggets that you've heard so far?
Well, I've been seeing a lot of Kansas City and Buffalo being the front runners for Hopkins. So I mean, and those are the ones per Vegas odds. I think they have they're in the top three or four in terms of odds to land DeAndre Hopkins. So that makes sense. They both have. I wouldn't say needs. Well, Buffalo, they kind of have a need at wide receiver, but Kansas City for sure. They still need a number one. They talked up Kadarius Toney last week, but I mean, let's be honest, he's not a number one receiver. He could be a solid number two. I think that's his ceiling, and he can make moves after the catch. But they need a reliable number one wide receiver. Instead of having to rely on Travis Kelce all the time, so I think the Chiefs would probably make the most sense for Hopkins.
Yeah, I would think it would make the most sense for him to land to the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs and the Bills, they don't have much cap space. They can't. I think they're both maybe $1 million or a little over. So I don't know how that make it work, because especially with D-Hop saying that he's looking to get a contract kind of like OBJ, and not too many
ain't nobody
got that. Ain't nobody got that type of money just laying around at this point in the season, this offseason, unless you're willing to go to a team where you're probably not going to make the playoffs. So he's going to kind of have to decide, like, hey, do I chase the bag, or am I going to, position myself to the best chance of getting a ring? And the sacrifice will be you're not making much money, but he's made a lot of money. But I mean, I can't count that dude's pockets. I don't know his motivations. Maybe he still wants to, get that big paycheck like he's been doing since the beginning of his career till now. So,
yeah. And then, an interesting thing about cap space, there's six teams as of this Friday that are picking up, cap space as a result of the June 1st cuts. They're the Dolphins at 13.6 million, the Browns at 10.9, Cowboys at 10.9, Commanders at 4 million, Broncos at 3.75, and the Cardinals at 3.2. So out of those teams, I mean, you can say the Cowboys would be one to watch, but let's be honest, they're not going to do it. Cleveland is interesting. I know that he's talked up of reunited with Deshaun Watson. So that could be one to monitor. And then the Dolphins, 13.6 million. You give Tua, another wide receiver to go with Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I mean, they already traded for Jalen Ramsey. They could go for it this year. They made the playoffs. They gave Buffalo all they could handle in the wild card round with a third or fourth or fifth or sixth string quarterback. So that's an intriguing option as well. So we'll see where Hopkins lands, but. I know you said the Chiefs and the Bills, they're kind of low on cap space. I don't really think that matters, because if you want a player, you will find a way to make it work.
This right? is true.
That
this
is true. That it, we that it, it's tried and true. We see it every year. Yeah. Oh, how do they keep signing these players? How does D-Make sign all these players? They have no cap space.
Bruh, well, the Saints, always, man.
The Saints, always. The Eagles, the Rams, they always sign these players, these contracts with no money. With quote unquote no money, But yeah, you know, so that's just those are a couple of other teams that maybe some.
All right, what is one team? Where is a team that you would hope he goes to?
Kansas City. I'd hope he goes to Kansas City because he'll instantly you know hit it off with Mahomes, and Mahomes would love him, and him and Kelsey, they'd be occupying a similar area of the field. I know Kelsey, you know, as a tight end, he can still stretch the seams even at 33, 34 years old. But Hopkins, he's a, you know, prototypical alpha. He was very productive in his brief, you know, appearances in Arizona last year. As soon as he came back from the suspension, he was, you know, catching 10 balls a game, you know. So if he's in that Kansas City offense, he's going to cook. He's going to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the team that I would be, that would make it really interesting, and I would hate to see, because it would be in our division, would be the Giants. They have a need for a true number one wide receiver. You know, they got a bunch of 5'9", 180-pound wide receivers. So you get bunch somebody. Bunch of midgets. Yeah, bunch of me's running out there, basically. Yeah. So if they get somebody that's, you know, been a top wide receiver in this league, he can still make plays. I think it really, you know, set that offense up for, you know, for some good things. But I don't want to see that happen. But that'd be a really spicy spot for him to land is the Giants
or the Eagles, because you know the Eagles are never out of it, regardless. Any kind of free agent that comes available. I mean, the Eagles are always. Oh yeah, the Eagles have $12.7 million in cap space.
How convenient.
How convenient. The Chargers at 12.4, the Ravens at 12.1. So yeah. So we'll see. The Eagles have the money to do it. I mean, I know he's probably not gonna get the $17 million, but you know, that he wants. And so but the Eagles and the Chargers, they have needs at wide receiver, and both are very viable, and they both have quarterbacks that I'm sure he probably wants to play with.
Yeah. Yeah. $17 million is not going to happen unless he wants to watch the playoffs on his couch again. So,
yeah.
Another newsworthy note to make mention of is Breece Hall. You know, we talked about him last week. Here we are again. You know, Robert Saleh talking about he's very optimistic about him being ready for week one. I know I've seen on Twitter some of these doctors are, you know, already saying that he's ahead of schedule in terms of the things that they would like to hear about and see up until this point. So it's a very realistic possibility he might be ready for week one. That doesn't mean that he's going to smash. He might be ready in terms of like he in uniform, he takes a couple, you know, a couple carries here and there, but ready for week one, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to hear that they're optimistic, but we see this every year, right? So-and-so is optimistic to play week one. Okay, he's going to play week one, but how effective will he be, right? How effective will he be? We know Breece Hall was super efficient when he was playing. He only had 80 carries, but he had a crazy explosive rush rate. Like he was awesome, right? He was awesome. You know, his targets per route run off the charts, elite metrics across the board, elite athlete, elite metrics. You know, part of me, you know, as I'm sure as, you know, the summer progresses, as the offseason progresses, as we get closer to the season, you know, some of me, or part of me is I may take a little bit more of Breece Hall. And just for the simple standpoint of, you know, whenever he gets going late in the season, you know, in especially in best ball, especially those latter weeks, you know, 13 through 15, 16, 17, especially in best ball mania, you get prizes for like, you know, the end of the regular season, and you get prizes for the playoffs. And so he can definitely help you in the back half and lift your team up, especially if you surround him with, you know, pretty decent, you know, roster build. And so that's just one aspect that I'm looking at. Just I'm going to keep in mind and, you know, continue to adjust as new information comes out, right? I mean, if there's more optimism about his knee injury and he, you know, we watch him in training camp, he looks super explosive, he doesn't have any setbacks or limitations, no pitch counts, none of that stuff, then, you know, maybe I'll find myself drafting a little bit more of him than I am right now. But as of right now, it's not really – it doesn't really change much for me right now based on how I've already been approaching Breece Hall in the offseason. But, you know, as we get closer and closer to the season, that may change.
Same here, man. Same thing. I just again, our, you know, one of our mantras that we stick by is that that first year tearing an ACL for a running back, just kind of stay away. Or if you get him late in drafts, then cool, because you don't expect much and nothing much of him in the, at least the first half of the season. You know, maybe there might be, you know, the off chance that he's you know, AP, but I rather, like I said last week, I rather lean on the other side that he's just not gonna give you what you want at the cost that you're gonna have to pay for him.
Yeah, and you know what? He's, I mean, his cost isn't really that terrible as of right now. I think he's going at the end of the second round, early third. And for a talent like that, I mean, I guess that's okay. I mean, I'm still drafting other players that I like a little bit better than him, that are, you know, more that have more security about their, they don't have the obviously the injury cloud looming over them. So I like you know, some other players better in that range. But yeah, I think the cost is fine for Breece Hall right now, because I only see that potentially going up the more and more positive news we get, you know, throughout the offseason.
Yep, that's true. All right, so this show we're going to talk about ADP again, players, how they've been moving in these underdog drafts within the last week. We're also going to talk about players that have moved down, and then we're going to talk about the players that we've been seeing throughout this offseason drafting, players that we are not leaving drafts without collecting. So let's go ahead and talk about players that we've been seeing move up within the last week. First one I want to touch on is Rondale Moore. Obviously, we saw the news. We just talked about the news of D-Hop leaving, getting cut. So, of course, you're going to see the effects of that, which is you're seeing Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore has moved up 17 spots. Now he's going wide receiver 72, overall ranking 100, and basically getting drafted 161. So basically around, what, the 13th round, 14th round, he's going, instead of pretty much at the end at 16, 17. So there's nothing wrong. It's best ball. It's a late round flyer on a wide receiver that now you're wide receiver two. Yeah, he's undersized, and yet we're yet to see him, you know, play a lot of games in Arizona uniform. He's had the tendency to be hurt these first 2 years. So he now gets the opportunity to, you know, be on the field pretty much every down, with only what Hollywood Brown being the only other wide receiver of note in front of him. So he has a great opportunity to, you know, beat the production that's projected by ADP. You know, and you know, D-Hop, he didn't play. He only played 9 games last season. He's leaving 100 receptions for somebody to collect. So no, it's only right that, you know, him, McBride, whatever that may be this year, if he
second round pick from 2022. So he's got the draft capital. So he may factor in as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then obviously Marquise Brown, he's going to be the number one. So great opportunity for Rondale Moore. I don't see anything wrong with, you know, going and getting Rondale at the now new price that he's going at. It makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, you just mentioned Marquise Brown. He's down 10 spots as well. He's moved up 10 spots to from pick 78 to pick 68. So he's wide receiver 35 now. So he's moving up around, just, you know, just like Rondale Moore. It just kind of keeping the theme of wide receivers. We talked about Michael Gallup and Van Jefferson last week. Another 5 spots. He just continues to get the positive buzz. And then we've seen some videos of Van Jefferson coming out over the last couple of days. He's up about 5 spots as well. So from 163 to 158. So, you know, at the end of your draft, wide receiver 71. But I actually want to talk about, just kind of shifting to running backs, I want to talk about Tank Bigsby from Jacksonville. He's getting a lot of praise in fantasy land. And so, you know, he's a third round pick, you know, 88th overall. He's got a 3 down skill set, you know, early declare. He's produced all 3 years at Auburn. And so he's going to factor into that backfield, and Travis Etienne is coming off of a season where he wasn't really that efficient on a, you know, per touch basis. So there's a lot of opportunity for Tank Bigsby in that offense. He's going to factor in a lot more than people are really anticipating. I know there's this there seems to be this, you know, perception of Travis Etienne, of, you know, him being super awesome. And now he showed some really, really good flashes at times last year. But you know, overall, you know, his rushing profile, and he struggled in pass pro. There was a lot of things that, you know, that many people aren't pointing to for Travis Etienne that didn't work well in his favor last year. And that could actually push Tank Bigsby onto the field a little bit more in 2020.
Yeah. I know Doug Peterson already came out and said, we don't want him to take over 70% of the rushing running back snaps or even rush attempts that he did this past season. So that's just already, he's already foreshadowing that, hey, don't expect this guy to, you know, just hog all the carries, because we got somebody that can obviously take some of that brunt of the carries on the first and second down for sure.
RB 48. Yeah. So he's going towards the end of your drafts, and he's one of those rookies that can pay dividends for you, especially in the playoffs, like a Dameon Pierce or a Tyler Allgeier last year. They can definitely pay dividends. He can definitely pay dividends for you, especially if you want to advance in your best ball tournaments.
Yep. And if you already know how Doug Peterson rolls, you know, he likes running, have a running back committee approach. He wasn't really able to, you know, efficiently do that last year, but he will be able to this year because they drafted someone that can do that. Another player I want to touch on real quick is Jerome Ford. I mean, we've been hearing the news of OTAs that they've been really, you know, he's been really the guy behind, you know, Chubb, and Chubb is not even doing anything right now. So Ford is basically the first running back out there taking the snaps. So this is just foreshadowing that Jerome Ford is the guy that they're looking to, you know, spell Chubb first whenever he comes off the field. I don't know what his role is going to be. They might actually give Chubb a chance to, you know, be the, you know, all three down back. If not, then, you know, Jerome Ford can take third down roles. He's fast. He's hard to tackle. We saw him in Cincinnati smash that final year before he came out into the draft. So I think at, you know, RB 56, basically getting drafted at 180. Where is that at? So basically that's the end of the draft, man. So yeah,
very end of the draft.
It's free. 15th round, the end of the 15th round. So you can't hate that for sure. Getting somebody again towards the end of the season, you know, where people don't play as much or depend on where they're at in terms of the playoff push. So it's potential for him, you know, get touches towards the end of the season for that push that you're looking for. And like I said, he's moved up 12 spots from 192 to 180. So again, somebody late in your drafts to, you know, to put on your roster, especially if you're, you know, going wide receiver heavy early, this is one of the guys you can kind of target at the end of your drafts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with that. Definitely with that. I do have some shares of Jerome Ford. I've been kind of scooping him up. He's the RB 56, and so yeah, he's an end of your draft stash, for sure.
Last player we're going to talk about obviously is the person that just left Arizona, is D-Hop. He's actually moved up almost five full spots from the 44th position to 39. So basically at the beginning of the fourth round now instead of the middle. You know, wide receiver 19. You know, he's moving up because of the prospects of him going to one of these, you know, better offenses like the Chiefs or the Bills. No, I'm kind of on the wait and see approach with him, just because it might not happen. Just because of money reasons. I know we talked about at the beginning of the show that teams that if they want someone, they'll find the money somehow, some way. But you know, there's still a chance where those two teams talk about it, but they can't get them. So yeah. I want to wait until I see some movement, or, you know, obviously I get the news that, like, hey, this is where he's at. Then I'll judge from there. I don't want to, you know, pick a player and then he ends up going to a situation where it's not advantageous for you to, you know, him being your second wide receiver on your roster potentially. And he's not even in a, you know, situation where it makes sense for him to be your second wide receiver on your team. So I'm gonna be patient.
Yeah, I haven't been drafting much of DeAndre Hopkins in all the teams that I've had. I've actually upped my team count to, I think now it's at 55. So I don't have too much DeAndre Hopkins. And I told you, I'm serious about like,
hey, you're maxing, right.
Not necessarily maxing shit out, but like I'm gonna be like deep into it. So I'm gonna draft a lot of teams before June. So how I'm gonna label my teams, because you know how you can edit you can edit some of like to kind of keep track of your favorite rosters. I'm just gonna edit something saying before June 1st and everything after June 1st, and then we'll see which ones end up like doing the best, right? Yeah. I think that's a good way for me to keep track. But
I'm laughing at your number, but I'm right behind you. I'm at 46. So.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm gonna ramp that number up as it gets closer and closer to training camp. Like,
it's gonna be like
my third job. Just drafting, just all day, every day drafting. You know, so looking forward to that. A lot of fun, but just kind of switching gears. We have to talk about players that are moving down over the last week. The first one is Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback for the Raiders. Ever since that, the news about his foot, or his ankle came out. Mm-hmm. He's down 13 spots, basically QB 28. So basically undraftable, right? You leave a best ball draft with Jimmy Garoppolo on your team. Because there's a possibility that he gets cut. There's a possibility he gets cut. There's an out in that contract that they don't owe him shit if he fails another physical. Mm-hmm. That's bad news. That is bad news for the Raiders. And they probably should have stuck with Jared Stidham because he did a pretty decent job when he was in there a couple times last year, and they let him sign with the Broncos. So congratulations, Raiders. You played yourself again. You didn't trade up for Anthony Richardson or any other quarterback that you could have gotten because you were the number 7 overall pick. So you had, you were armed. All you had to do was give up another pick maybe next year to move up to get a quarterback, but decided to stay pat with Jimmy G, and Jimmy G's not even cleared. So it's just, it's a bad situation all around for the Raiders.
Brian Hoyer,
37-year-old Brian Hoyer is their savior now,
or Aiden O'Connell from Purdue that I know a lot of people have been talking about. I know Eric from America's Game has been really hyping them up a lot. So in your dynasty leagues, you better definitely go and get both those quarterbacks or one of them for sure.
Wasn't he like available going into the 2022 season? Wasn't he one of like the top like 5 quarterbacks?
Yeah, he was. They were talking him up a little bit because of like how high flying that Purdue offense was, but this past season it wasn't really too much of anything. Outside of him and Charlie Jones, the wide receiver for now the Cincinnati Bengals, he's smashed.
Oh, the little slot guy.
Smashed. Yeah.
And then staying on quarterbacks, Kyler Murray's down at about 9 spots, the QB 21. Yeah, I mean, like we talked about Kyler Murray, I think, in the previous couple of shows. There's a possibility he might not even play in 2023 because of how bad the Cardinals are projected to be, and then it may possibly be. They just cut Hopkins, and who's it going to be the quarterback? Colt McCoy, and they have a bad roster. I mean, they have some talented players, but overall, bad team, a bad roster. So it just doesn't make sense to put Kyler Murray in there when they're like, 3-7 or 2-7 or 1-6 or so, or whatever the case is, whenever he's, feeling good enough to quote unquote come back, just doesn't make sense. And so so him being at QB 21, it may move up because I feel like we're going to see some positive news about Kyler Murray's recovery and how how he's healing like Wolverine or some shit, and then it's gonna drive the ADP up, and there's a possibility that Kyler Murray may play as soon as week 4 or week 3. You'll see something like that, and then his ADP is gonna skyrocket, right?
Or him squatting 3 plates. You see him throw down 3 plates and you're like, oh snap, he's ready, let's go.
He's ready Kyler Murray, oh my gosh, comeback season. Doesn't make sense for him to be playing in 2023.
I haven't drafted any Kyler in any of my teams because of the fact that I don't even want to entertain it. I can't see, there's no reason for him to play. They've already shown us their cards that they ain't even trying this year. They're looking for next year. They're looking for next year, man.
They're not even trying. They're not even trying.
If you look at that defensive like depth chart, you'd be like, "What the? Like, what's going on?" I mean, don't even forget Buda Baker requested to get traded. So
yeah,
we'll see if that happens. But he don't want to be there.
Some of their best players don't want to be there. And yeah. I get it.
Nah, I don't. Yeah, I'll pass on that one.
Yeah. All if, right. If I have Kyler Murray, he's probably like third quarterback. Right, it's like he's my third. Like if I have any shares of Kyler Murray, it's probably because I have three quarterbacks, and just for the like the what if for nothing else, the what if scenario of him playing sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
that's it. And I might have Rondale Moore stacked with him.
Yeah.
So
all right, Trey Lance, he's moved down this week from quarterback 23 to 25. He's now going. Pretty much still at the end of the draft. This is based off of news of, kind of hearing Brock Purdy starting to, get things going in terms of throwing or whatnot. I mean, we just heard as of, today, we've heard, reports of, the coaching staff being impressed with where Brock Purdy's at and how he looks in terms of throwing or whatnot. You know, it's a murky situation, man. You keep hearing all these different reports. I've got some Trey Lance just in you just on the hopes because you can get him at the end of drafts, but
yeah,
I don't know, man.
He's always there. Yeah, like at the end always. Of draft. So you can just kind of just take a flyer on him and see what happens. I mean, he's like probably the most I don't know ambiguous player, one of the most ambiguous players in going into 2023 because there's a group of people who think he sucks, he's terrible, and there's a group of people that thinks his potential is not being realized and he's much better than what people are giving him credit for. And there's a bunch of people that are in the middle.
Yeah,
I think I'm somewhere in the middle, but leaning towards him being super talented and good because he's shown he's got a rocket launcher for an arm, right?
Yeah,
I've seen him make some throws that some other quarterbacks in this league can't make. There's still things to like about Trey Lance. It's just he was just dealt a bad hand in 2020, the beginning of 2022.
Dude,
like his first two games rainstorms,
dude.
Right, like
people were mad that he couldn't do anything. You couldn't even see, like you saw them literally running in a swimming pool. Like, what'd you expect him to do?
The first game in Chicago was an actual swimming pool, and then the second game in Seattle, I think they were in the red zone when he got hurt. So I think he might have completed some passes and got down to the red zone, and then he broke his ankle when he was asked to run a quarterback power or something like that. Yeah, it was a core.
I remember. The play,
Shanahan,
man. Yeah,
Shanahan, had him run a quarterback power, and he broke his ankle. So no more of that, please. even though Lance has running ability, but let's
come on, man.
Yeah, let's less of that. I mean, you can do design runs every now and then, but just no. Let's stop.
Yeah, you got other people that can run powers, man.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? It's Ike from Off the Line Fantasy Football. I'm excited to announce that Destination Devi is partnering with Underdog Fantasy for the 2023 season. There's no better way to put your skills to the test against me and other top fantasy football analysts this offseason. But here's the best part. If you use promo code OTLFF when signing up, you'll get a 100% deposit match of up to $100. And if you deposit $10, you'll get access to strategize with us in the Destination Devi Discord. Now, why is this important? You get additional stats, additional tips, and much more to dominate your drafts. And plus, we got all the information. We got all of the EDU for you. So what are you waiting for? Head over to underdogfantasy.com, sign up, and let's make this season one for the books.
All right. So let's go ahead and talk about some of the players that we've been, not leaving our underdog drafts without collecting. Ike, let me go ahead and get you go first on who's the first player that you got to leave drafts with.
Well, it's no particular order. I'm just going to start towards the back end of the draft then just work my way up to the front. But the back end of the draft, Antonio Gibson, right? He's like every time I get to the certain range around in the ninth round, he's always available for me. There may be times where I have to reach maybe like, you know, five or six spots, you know, according to ADP. But Antonio Gibson, like he's usually there as my third or fourth running back at that point, or maybe my fourth or fifth running back at that point. Just kind of depends on my team build. But yeah, he's a guy that we've talked about a lot, you know, already this offseason. And you know, I think he's in a good position, and you know, with the new offensive coordinator and Eric Bieniemy, I think they're going to be utilizing his skill sets a lot more. And plus, this is a contract year for him. This is probably his last year in Washington, so I think they're going to utilize him the correct way. And we've already talked about Brian Robinson being mid, being just a plotter, and you know, being very, very inefficient on a per touch basis in 2022. And so, you know, Antonio Gibson has a, you know, history of just being, you know, within the top 20 of PPR points per game in 2020 and 2021. Obviously, 2022 wasn't his best, but he had a career high 46 catches. So, and J.D. McKissic is gone, and there's no other real pass-catching running back on the roster. It's basically him, and I think he's going to have a bigger role. And right now, he's going, you know, RB 38 on Underdog right now. So, I think that's pretty good value for him, and it's only going to climb as we get closer to the season, because there's just going to be more and more buzz coming out about him, and getting him at this range right now is a good opportunity to kind of take advantage of some of the market inefficiency with him. So Antonio Gibson is probably like one of my top players that I usually leave drafts.
Yep, I mean, we had the same. I had Antonio Gibson on my list too. Just. I don't even need to repeat what you said. I know even the little bits that you hear from Riverboat Rivera, just like, oh yeah, he's showing his pass catching abilities, bro. Yeah, that's what he was known for.
He was a freaking receiver in college.
Yeah, a wide receiver that turned running back his last year.
Yeah,
come on, bro. This is what he does. Like, where you been at?
Catch passes like.
Where you been, bro? Like, yeah. What are we doing? Just that dude irks me, man. Just so stupid.
Yeah.
All right. So the next player that I want to talk about is another guy that we both had on our list J.K. Dobbins, RB 18. He's going towards the end of the fifth round. Again, second year off the torn ACL. Those are usually the spots where, you know, running backs that were good before the ACL tear. This is the year they usually smash. The latest example of that was Saquon Barkley last year. We saw how he, you know, destroyed last year off on his second year coming off the ACL. So I just expect, you know, JK to, you know, with the new and improved offense, I expect him to have opportunities to have efficient touches, you know, just with the threat of Lamar in the backfield. And then now you got, you know, potentially three wide receivers and a tight end that can, you know, stretch the field and, you know, make things easier for your running back. So I just can't leave the value with JK being there towards the end of the fifth round, being my, you know, RB2 or maybe my RB1 if I'm going zero RB. Maybe I get my first one in that fifth round and lead it with him. So I can't leave without him for sure.
Yeah, he was seventh among qualified running backs in breakaway run rate percentage. Runs that went for 15 plus yards. 319 of his 582 rushing yards came after contact. He was 5.5 yards per carry after averaging 6.6 yards per carry. Actually, 5.7 yards per carry last year, and he was six yards per carry his rookie year. So he's an efficiency monster. Like, and he wasn't even 100% last year. So I think like he was just basically ramping back up. To, you know, 2020 levels, but I think even now in 2023 he might be better than ever. So we're looking forward to a lot of you know, J.K. Dobbins. I have a lot of J.K. Dobbins. As a matter of fact, to be official, he is my. This is surprising. He's only my third highest drafted running back. Or I've drafted him the third most out of all from all my teams so far. So like I have so I. If we go to like the Best Ball Mania poodle and puppy section, he's my third highest. And if you go to like the big board, the early, you know, we were in on J.K. Dobbins earlier. He is my most drafted running back at 70%. So Yeah, I was drafting the shit out of J.K. Dobbins early in the off, or much earlier in the offseason. Still drafting a lot of them. And so, because, you know, we believe in his talent. We believe in his ability. We believe in his efficiency. And, you know, the math checks out with guys coming off of the ACL tear. So, completely agree.
Yeah, I have him. So, the big board, the super flex, I have him at 40, like basically 42%. And then right now with the puppy and with the Best Ball Mania 4, he's at 40% right now. So, you know, those numbers are the super flex, he was number 3, and then right now he is number 3 again on these ones so far. So just I'm in. So I can't say that I'm not in and don't back it up. So
yeah,
I mean, you saying that 70%, that's even more in than me. So
yeah, but now granted, you know, I didn't draft too many of the big board teams. I drafted like maybe how many big board teams did I draft? Maybe like I have like 10 big board teams. So I don't have votes. 70
okay.
votes.
Yeah.
Seven out of 10 teams. I mean,
I had 25 of them. So that yeah.
Yeah. So but you know, the next player I want to talk about, Justin Fields. Justin Fields, QB5, pick 41. He usually goes in that range where you see, you know, players like Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, even Justin Herbert. So he kind of goes in that range, and I see him always all the, you know, in that range, and I just don't like any of the players there. Mm-hmm. And I just pushed the button on Justin Fields, because, you know, especially in best ball, especially when you have a, you know, a quarterback that can give you that rushing upside, rushing touchdown upside. And plus he has improved weapons. I just have the tendency to smash the button, you know, each time. So he's my highest drafted quarterback in my, you know, Best Ball Mania poodle and puppy section for sure. So he's my number one quarterback there. So yeah, you know, he was a QB5 last year. And again, you know, he has improved weaponry. And I'm just looking forward to kind of seeing him take that third year leap, because every time we see, you know, these quarterbacks that people are kind of down on going into the third season, they get a wide receiver, you know, a true wide receiver one. We saw it with Josh Allen. We saw it with Jalen Hurts. And you can argue that Justin Fields is a much more talented passer of the ball, or at least coming out, he was much more talented passer of the ball than those two guys were. So if he can just kind of, if he finally gets a number one receiver they can rely on DJ Moore. And we'll talk about DJ Moore here in a second, because he's another guy that I've been drafting a lot of. so if he can take that third year leap, you know, I think the rushing yards will still be there. I wouldn't say 1,100 yards worth, because he was running for his life a lot of those times, and he had to run because that Bears offensive line was terrible. But he'll still have some rushing upside there. So, but yeah, I feel like I see Justin Fields smashing quite a bit this year.
So I'll go ahead and stay on the same, you know, boat on talking about a quarterback. And my top quarterback that I've been drafting in both the Superflex drafts that they had earlier and the, you know, the puppy and the Best Ball Mania 4 has been Deshaun Watson, you know, quarterback 9. He's going basically towards the end of the 7th round. And I can't, you know, whenever I see him, I can't help it. I have to get him, especially when a lot of these teams where I'm not even taking quarterbacks early. You know, usually you'll see those top 3 quarterbacks go towards the end of the 2nd round for people that are trying to get that early stack. But I've been having the tendency where I'll go and grab Amari Cooper if I can, or I'll just grab Watson, and then I can go and get DPJ towards the end of the drafts. I just think this is the year where, you know, he's shaking off the rust. You know, I expected him not to really be good this towards the end of last year when he was able finally to play, because it had been almost 2 years since he hadn't played. You know, now he's kind of got his, you know, kind of get his groove back. It's a full offseason knowing that he's going to play. I just think he's going to smash this year. So I can't leave drafts without him at all, man. He's usually the my first wide receiver quarterback that I'm taking if I don't get Pat Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, or Lamar or Burrow, then I'm waiting and getting Deshaun.
Yeah, you know, his last full season playing, he had 33 touchdowns and 7 picks and led the NFL in passing yards.
Yep.
And that was without DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
So, now granted, he had Brandon Cooks, who was still really, really good, had, you know, almost 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. And then Will Fuller. Remember Will Fuller?
Yep.
who actually played, I think, the most games in his career that year.
He sure did. And he smashed.
And he smashed. Right? And so, that obviously propelled and helped Deshaun Watson that year. So, yeah, I mean, Deshaun was really good his last full year of playing. A full offseason should definitely help him. It should help any quarterback that's, you know, trying to shake a lot of the rust off. But yeah, you know, I actually have, you know, a lot, you know, quite a few shares of Deshaun Watson. Not nearly as much as you. He's not my most drafted quarterback, but he's actually my fourth highest drafted quarterback behind Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields and Matthew Stafford. Deshaun Watson, we're kind of in agreement there. But just kind of shifting gears back to the running back position. This is kind of towards the end of the drafts. A guy that you can kind of take a flyer on is Chuba Hubbard from the Panthers. We've kind of talked about him a little bit as well. Currently going as RB 57, so pick 182, pick 183. You know, towards the end of your drafts, again, you know, maybe around 14 or 15,
yeah, maybe 16. The round beginning 16, of the 16.
Beginning of the 16th round. We saw him last year in Carolina. You know, whenever they traded Christian McCaffrey, it was him and Deontay Foreman sharing the carries. And, you know, Chuba Hubbard has some pretty usable weeks, performed pretty well, pretty decent. And, you know, I know they just signed Miles Sanders to a 4-year deal, I think 4-year, $25 million deal. But, you know, as much as I love Miles Sanders, the one thing we've seen over the years is that he gets hurt. He had the injury bug, can't escape it. Now we're not banking on an injury for him this year, but I'm just saying it's a possibility. And maybe Miles Sanders may not be on the field as much, you know, especially on passing downs, because Chuba Hubbard is a pretty reliable receiver out of the backfield as well. Showed that in college, showed that a little bit in Carolina last year. So I think, you know, to kind of taking a flyer on Chuba Hubbard late in drafts, especially to kind of book in your running back room, there's a lot of worse ways you can go than taking a chance on Chuba Hubbard. Especially, you're gonna need some weeks where there's gonna be times where maybe, you know, Miles Sanders is ineffective, and then Chuba Hubbard is, they may ride the hot hand, and Chuba Hubbard may be the hot hand, and he may steal some goal line work from him. You know, I mean, you never know. I mean, there's really no running backs outside of Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders in Carolina that you really need to worry about. Deontay Foreman's gone. But who's the other guy? Blackshear? Nobody's really like, come on, you know? And, you know, just kind of staying on the same point, Chuba Hubbard is my most drafted running back. Because at the end of drafts, he's just always there. He's always available for me to take. 45% drafted Chuba Hubbard. That's basically my rationale. And I know we had the same guy as well.
Yep. I do have him. He's my most drafted running back too at 56%. You know, he's at, like we say, he's at the end of the drafts. We just heard that. I just saw the coaching staff talk about he might be the short yardage back on top of, you know, spelling third down back. So, you know, sign me up. You know, if he's going to be short yardage back, they might use him on goal lines. He might be stealing Miles Sanders touchdowns like Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell were last year, man. So, you know, sign me up for that, for, you know, a free running back, your RB5, your RB6 on your team. So I don't, you can't do better than that, honestly, in my opinion. You got people still drafting Kareem Hunt, who has no team. I'd rather have Chuba.
Yep.
You got, you know, like Kenneth Gainwell going right behind him. Leonard Fournette, who has no team, going behind him. Gus Edwards. Yeah, Zeke. Like, I'd rather, you know, let me take my chances with Chuba, man. And is there anybody else? Oh, yeah. Last running back that also that I've been not leaving drafts with is Josh Jacobs. He's going RB9 right now. There's, I mean, There's really nothing. I mean, we saw last year he smashed. I mean, he was pretty much what RB1, pretty much the whole RB1, RB2 the whole season, right behind Christian McCaffrey. The best year ever. He's franchise tagged, so I'm not sure if he's going to get a deal or not. But, you know, they don't really got anybody else outside of, you know, D. Adams. You know, they drafted Zaire White last year. Clearly, they don't really believe in him because he didn't touch the field.
Zamir White was a hindrance to people last year, or a hindrance to Josh Jacobs last year, and turned out to not be the case at all.
Yeah, a lot of people were speculating about Zamir White, you know, getting drafted, and they're just like, oh, we got to get Zamir because he's gonna be the guy. Yeah, he was on the milk carton.
I will admit this. I mean, I was fading Josh Jacobs, but not necessarily because of Zamir White. Just fading Josh Jacobs because I didn't think he had, you know, RB1 overall or RB2 or 3 overall in him. There were better picks to make in that range for me.
Yeah,
but he absolutely tore it up. Yeah. He's 19.4 fantasy points per game. And so, you know, that, and he's entering his age, I think age 25 season.
Yeah.
So usually, usually when you see, you know, running backs that have a crazy year like that, I mean, they're usually top 5 picks in redraft leagues, and he's going at pick 27. So he's already, I haven't drafted, I don't know much of Josh Jacobs, because in that range, there's just players that I've, you know, just kind of, I've skipped over him for, mm-hmm. But you know, just kind of laying out the case for him. I mean, it just kind of makes sense. Maybe I need to, add some Josh Jacobs to my portfolio.
Yeah, he's been going the beginning of third round. I know a lot of people around that third round range would be looking to try to stack their quarterback with, you know, with like T. Higgins or, you know, Devonta Smith if they haven't gone yet. But I mean, a lot of the drafts I've had, those players have been gone. So I just tap Josh Jacobs without even thinking about it. I know as of late, I've been seeing these drafts now where, you know, the top 3 quarterbacks are not even going in the second round. They're going like in the middle of the third now. People are getting a little bit smarter in terms of, you know, kind of waiting a little bit longer to go get their quarterbacks instead of seeing them like fly off the board before pick 18, all 3 of them are gone. Now they're kind of waiting to see if they can get that guaranteed stack. Which makes sense. So
yeah, I've noticed, especially I think Josh Allen was the main one that I've noticed going a little bit later than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's like the last one that's going. Yep. And I don't know if I have a reason that I can really explain why, but it's just every time I'm in drafts, it's just Josh Allen's like at least like 5, 6, 7 spots past ADP.
Yep.
His ADP is like I think in the 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So, and he's always going like toward at the end of the second round, early third. So it's just,
yeah,
it's interesting. But you know, Mahomes and Hurts, they're usually gone.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
usually gone.
Yeah.
But the last guy that I want to talk about really quick, actually, it's two guys. It's two wide receivers that I'm overly fond of this year. First is DJ Moore. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You guys have been listening to me for a while. I am a DJ Moore truther, tried and true. And I especially love DJ Moore this year because he's with the most talented quarterback he's ever played with, in Justin Fields. So they both need each other this year, and I think they'll. I know Chicago, they didn't pass the ball much last year. They were dead last in pass attempts per game, or second to last. I think them and Atlanta were basically at the bottom of the league in pass attempts per game. You know, pass rate over expectation. You name it. Anything. Related to volume of pass attempts, they were at the bottom. I think at least if they could come somewhere towards the middle, somewhere towards the mean league average of pass attempts, they're going to smash. Justin Fields and DJ Moore are going to smash. And DJ Moore, he's made chicken salad out of chicken shit, you know, throughout his career playing with terrible quarterbacks, you know. You can just name the wasteland of quarterbacks that he's played with, but
Cam Newton has a word for you, man.
I mean, the version of Cam Newton that he played with, at least early on, was, I mean, 2018 Cam Newton before his arm fell off,
yeah,
was okay, but then like the last version of Cam Newton that he played with wasn't great. But DJ Moore, he's a guy that I've been drafting a lot of, and I'm actually in on the Bears passing attack this year. So I've been drafting a lot of Darnell Mooney as well. So because he's another guy that every time I get to a certain spot, he's available for me. So he's like my fourth or fifth wide receiver whenever I pick him. And usually I have Justin Fields there. If I don't, then he's still a good pick for me in that range because he has spike week potential. But just the Bears offense in general, like their passing attack was just so bad because they just weren't passing the ball at all. So I think Darnell Mooney deserves a mulligan for 2022. So, my last guy is Rashad Bateman that I've been drafting a lot of. And, you know, it's real simple. I mean, we saw flashes of the guy, the 2021 first round pick, at the beginning of last year. He had some deep ball, deep touchdown receptions, long touchdown receptions. And he had some efficiency. I think he was 11th overall in win rate versus man, win rate versus man coverage. And so that's behind some elite wide receivers like Tyler Lockett and DeAndre Hopkins. So, going at wide receiver 45 and, pick 91. So just, before the 10th round, I think. Yeah, before the bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just before the 10th round or eighth, ninth round range, in that range, whatever. Stacking him with Lamar Jackson, that's one thing that I've been trying to do a lot of. But if I haven't been able to, then, taking Rashad Bateman there is like my third or fourth wide receiver. I'm not mad at it at all. So I'm really high on him this year. And then, this Ravens offense is, I think they're going to pass the ball a lot more than they have in years past. We're not going to have the Greg Roman offense, the run heavy approach. We're going to have a lot more passing, and they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They signed Odell Beckham. They re-signed Lamar Jackson to a mega deal. J.K. Dobbins is coming back, so the offense is going to be elite in 2023. And what's the general rule? One of the general rules of thumbs in best ball is to have pieces of good offenses, and I think this offense is going to be a good one. So you want to get as many good players on that offense as you can. So I'm in on Rashad Bateman this year.
Yep. And the last one before we end the show I have is DPJ, man, Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's actually my top wide receiver I've been drafting almost 50%. He had a really good a really decent year last year. I think he's going to be the wide receiver two. In the offense, I think they're going to pass a little bit more. I think they've already said that they want to pass the ball more. Like I said, this is Watson's first full year coming back from the stuff that he had going off the field. I think he'll be the number two. So when they run two wide receiver sets, I think he'll be the two. We saw him connect a lot deep with Watson, so I think that continues, especially with adding Elijah Moore and, still having David Njoku that occupied the middle of the field. So I just think the opportunity for him to grow from what he did this last year into this next year, his contract year, I expect him to, be somebody that makes some noise for you on your best ball teams. And, when somebody you can get, pretty much at the end of your drafts again, I think he's going the end of the 13th round, right before, MVS, Jaden Reed, KJ Osborne, Rondell Moore. So I think, I like that range where you can, get your wide receiver six or wide receiver seven on your draft. So I like DPJ a lot. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you there. I've been drafting some DPJ, but a Cleveland pass catcher that I've been drafting a lot more of is Cedric Tillman.
Really?
Basically, okay. His replacement, and he's usually like my very last pick every single time. It's my second to last pick or my last pick. He's usually, he's going to be his replacement in 2024. But I think, rookie wide receivers, they'll especially with him, they drafted him with their first pick. Their first pick was a third rounder, and that was their first selection. So I feel like they have plans for him this year. And so I think he's going to get on the field in some capacity. I'm maybe not early on, but for sure we can expect him to get on the field towards the end of the season. So that's when, you know, a lot of the money is made in best ball. And if he has some decent weeks, especially if you have injuries to other pass catchers, then he's going to step in and he may smash. Because, again, he was awesome in 2021, got injured in 2022. And then we saw Jalin Hyatt ascend to astronomical heights.
Yep.
So, but he's a super talented dude. But that's one Cleveland pass catcher that I've been really just end of the draft, last pick, Cedric Tillman, push the button.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I might have to dabble in a couple of those as we, you know, progress throughout the season. Of course, we've been talking a bunch of underdogs, so it'd be remiss for me not to drop the promo. Type in OTLFF for that 100% deposit matchup to $100. If you deposit at least $10, you get a year-long subscription to the Destination Devi Discord, where we've been talking underdog strategies, charts, all types of things that we're trying to, you know, organize so somebody in that group can, you know, win $1 million and say that they came out of that group. You know, we also drop roster construction, builds, and, you know, strategy behind that while we did it. So, you know, just a lot of different things that we're doing with the people that are joining, you know, our promo code or anybody under the Destination Devi team's promo code for that. So make sure you sign up using our promo code OTLFF. Find me on Twitter at FantasyGenes, that's G-E-N-E-S. Find Ike at @Ike09. Ike, you got anything before we get up out of here?
Just continue to dive into these underdog drafts. I know that, you know, the Best Ball Mania is the flagship one now, and that's when everybody's doing. You know, Gene and I, we've already gotten a fair share of drafts, and that's putting it lightly, under our belts. And then there's more to come. And as news continues to drop about these players, that's when you continue to adjust, and that's when you continue to exploit, you know, market efficiencies. And so, yeah, just continue to tap into, to underdog and get your feet wet in this best ball. If it's your first time playing best ball, now's a good time to start. Because I think around this time last year is when I started drafting my teams. This was after the draft. It was after, you know, OTAs had just started and there was some player news starting to trickle in.
Yep.
This is when I actually started to kind of dive into, you know, to best ball. This is a really good time to start if you haven't started already.
Yep. And again, as always, this is a good exercise for you, you know, kind of, you know, prep yourself for your redraft leagues. If you're into those, you get a kind of, you know, gauge of what the public is looking like in terms of the players that they like and where they're drafting them at. So as always, we'll be back next week. Y'all be safe. Draft those underdog teams. We out.
Peace.